First of all, hello, and thank you for participating in the thesis research. I'm starting recording our call right now, and my first question will be, when working with a client, what are the common scopes and goals of cooperation?
Hi, first of all, thank you once again. So let me start with the scopes. First, our customers are different in size and industry characteristics. And second, the products are always different. So team-wise, we often need a set of different developers. Our clients often need a full service, which means covering design, full stack development, markups, motion design, testing, and so on. Actually, that is why we have to keep expertise high in our team, because you never know what the customer will need. We keep them in directions and always know what competencies are covered in our team. The frameworks and languages update and increase in numbers every month, and as well as the possibilities to use them. Therefore, we have to have a team that has a competency in multiple directions. Otherwise, we can't cover all the requirements of the customers. Let me give you some examples. Sometimes the scopes are really tied to the requirements, and it happens that even the requirements sometimes are not really clear. So even though the client might have a predefined criteria, let's say preference of the coding language or framework. When we talk about the developer resources, we need to mention that there are many different ways to work with the client. For example, sometimes clients have some technical leads who have enough experience and they just need additional team members who can help them with development. Sometimes they just hire an outsource with the simple goal to increase knowledge and experience of the team. In this kind of case, not all the resources are the same. We can give them senior developers and also additional access to our architect or like tech leads who possess huge experience in different fields. These people might not be actually working in the client's Scrum team, but can be available for, let's say, retrospectives or sprint plannings or whenever they are deemed necessary by the Scrum team. As for the goal, let me think. Well, we have a case of many different goals. It's a bit hard to talk because the contract covers the scope and we do not regulate the cooperation according to the goals. Like, what concerns me is the scope, not the actual goal. We have the representative of the client in the team who is in charge of setting and monitoring the goals and visions. So most often we have companies who have money for a new product and they just want to launch it from zero. Their goal, I may suggest, is to create a new product, I guess. In most cases, they come with an idea and some basic concepts. They don't have any design or any specific requirements, just basic concepts or an idea. And that's what I call improvise, adapt, and overcome, actually. Do not get me wrong. They're agile and lean organizations who still have to develop some specific softwares in waterfall style. It's not like the waterfall is dead, but we mainly use Scrum, especially when the product in question is something that has not been proven yet.
Tell me.
I guess that's kind of a simple question. Answer.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Tell me about the process of the cooperation. How does it get organized from the beginning to the end?
Okay, let me give you a basic structure step by step. So first of all, I need to meet with the client, with my tech and product team representatives. and make an analysis of what their situation is. And by situation, I mean understanding how changing they are, how changing their circumstances are. If they are stable in terms of products, I can kind of forecast the resource need. But if they are not stable in requirements, I might have to draw some resources at some point for their needs, which is a bit of a problem for me. And that's not something I can easily do. Because everybody has schedules, and we pay our employees monthly, and we make sure that we have them occupied. So nobody has free developers, actually. That part is important, as it defines the expectations later, as I have learned. So I really have to know whether they have like stable requirements or like super changing. After analyzing their environment and mindset, it already depends, as I said. Let's say if they are in research and their requirements might change, I try to figure out the amplitude of their resource need. For example, will they need four different developers from different coding languages, or they will only use the same language and only number of developers will vary and change? So those are kind of different variables here. The main process here is to try and analyze the product requirements or forecast the future product requirement types. So the third step is integrating our cross-functional teams who will be dedicated to the project. Sometimes clients also have a tech team and they want us to work with them, like one team together. Usually, at least the product manager is present from the client side, but in some cases it might be a whole team or like a back-end or front-end or combined. This is actually very important, as we will share the responsibility of building a sophisticated software. So we need to be aligned, and we need to be on the same page. After this, we have to agree on methodology, we have to agree on approach, we have to discuss the frameworks, basically generally agree on different rules. After that, we work and then we deliver product features sprint by sprint. I try to get feedback from clients as soon as possible, because clients tend to create their products in their mind, and sometimes that product is not even close to what the reality can actually be. After delivery, we often have the long QA's process, even when the product is live. And during this period, we work with the client team to give them the knowledge.
Thank you. Tell me about the product and software development methodologies and frameworks you use when working with your clients, and why.
Mostly Agile with the Scrum framework. That is because we work mostly with developing products. And these kinds of projects are long, requiring a complex mix of resources, especially considering the fact that often the client does not really have a predetermined requirements. And the customer is also already using Agile. There is actually a tendency here. When we starting operating and working, the projects were done differently. The clients like to plan everything ahead and only start developing once every detail was ready. That is what we call a stage gate development, also a waterfall styled approach in the software development industry. But this tendency is long gone. Businesses are developing in terms of their learning culture, and they're developing their cultures of product development as well. The process is becoming smarter and smarter. Also, lately we have seen a spark of startups, which of course included a lot of people and showed how effective they can be. Nowadays, what I see is that even the large corporate clients are following the new Agile and Lean approaches. No matter how much money you have, you want to use each penny wisely. Therefore, the clients we work for always require bootstrapping. They try to reach the maximum efficiency per resource and per dollar. Of course, this drive also pushed our industry, I mean, software development industry. And we have to change in order to meet the client expectations. All of our developers are used to working in agile environments where clients require flexibility.
Thank you. Describe your biggest challenges of working with clients with the reasons causing the challenges.
Well, agile is great, but it's not always easy for us. For me, it is important to pay my developers and staff at the end of the month. I have full-time contractors who have to be paid no matter what specific resources my clients require. For example, I have 15 front-end developers. Sometimes they're not able to use all resources full-time because the project does not require it in this specific month. But the same project might need 20 developers next month. And this is a huge problem for resource management. I often have to hire short-term contractors, and that is not a great thing for quality. This happens with the developing products, and this is the nature of the process. I can't do nothing but to try to assess and always have some extra work for my developers, not to keep them stopped. This might not help avoid problems all the time, but can help minimize them. It's also hard to find free independent contractors, freelancers who I can trust or have experience of working with. The best way to control resources is to own the resource. But you can't own a developer and promise them a full-time job and then start searching for customers. You might get in trouble due to cash flow. So if I only knew the upcoming project details, that would be great, of course. But as I mentioned a minute ago, this is something we cannot do, unfortunately.
And how do you deal with the above-mentioned challenges?
I have to try multiple things. I always work the client at the beginning of the contract and give them heads up about the process. This is not just a service, but a partnership, which means this is a cohabitation. We need to help each other. We need to understand each other's weaknesses and strengths. That is why I always meet with the client frequently to be open with them and keep the partnership transparent. Otherwise, they will have false expectations. I also advise them to have a short team of my developers and maximize the value by high quality product management. Now, by this, I do not mean that I do not want to get more money, of course. And by the way, the projects do not always pay according to the amount of developers included. But back to the topic. Oftentimes, the product managers tend to solve the problems by asking for more resources. Not all, but it happens. And on the one hand, it might seem profitable if they pay more, but I prefer to stay transparent with my clients, teach them effectiveness, how to reach efficiency, and also teach my developers to reach efficiency with limited resources. Because there will definitely be a case when I do not have a free developer to add to the team, and I will surely enjoy having an agile developer in the team who knows how to work around the lack of specific resource. Also, I always advise to bring the tech team from the very first steps, including research and design, because the team gets used to each other and they try to solve problems by themselves. Sometimes the clients just come to us with the research done or with the roadmap more or less shaped. Of course, this might be more expensive, but I always suggest they include the developer team in the research process from the initial phase. We have cases when the client would have made a different choice if we had not given them a dev team right from the beginning. The client might just have a limited tech view and therefore might limit themselves extensively. So these things do not always work. Probably I've avoided maybe up to 50% of complications, but these things happen. New times, you know, new challenges for agencies. We need to be ready for the changing realities. And I recently started working with Mico employees to do retrospectives in terms of how we manage the client's relationship, how we deal with the resource shortage or surplus. I believe we might see the untraditional development of the industry. Some might become SaaS providers, some might develop into product, not software development agencies. The requirements are changing and our supply has to change as well. I would be happy to have the findings of this research shared with me, by the way.
Thank you very much for your participation and answers. Very much appreciated. I'm stopping the recording right now.